The governor's choice for state auditor. What was the most important criteria? Fort Wayne rejects the A2F grading system. IPS demands a review of takeover schools and political fallout from the grading scandal. That, plus the new NFL bag policy and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending August 16,
2013. Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
AT&T, connecting Hoosiers with the world for more than 130 years. Investing to build communication networks to help Indiana businesses and consumers succeed in a global economy. AT&T, rethink possible.
This week, Governor Mike Pence announced that Dwayne Sawyer will be the next state auditor. Sawyer becomes the first African-American Republican to serve in statewide office. He will serve out the remainder of Tim Berry's term. Berry is now the state GOP chairman. Sawyer is the president of the Brownsburg Town Council, and he downplayed the historic nature of his selection.
I think we recognize that is what it is, but my focus is serving all the people of Indiana with distinction, serving well.
And let me say, it was a pretty tough choice. We had some outstanding men and women that we interviewed from all over the state of Indiana for this position.
What does the Sawyer selection say about the status of the GOP? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender, editor at thestatehousefile.com, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV Statehouse reporter Jim Shella. Ann Delaney, will Dwayne Sawyer help the GOP attract voters who traditionally support Democrats?
I don't think so. And let's see, this is what, 2013 this is? And this is the first African-American Republican appointed or chosen to run or elected for state office on the Republican ticket? When we've had both, all three. We've had all three categories among Democrats. I don't think it's going to woo a lot of Democratic voters away, particularly not when you've got a concerted effort on the part of the Republican Party to discourage voter participation and to make it more difficult for minority voters to vote in every state across the union that they're afraid they won't carry by themselves. So I don't think it's going to attract large numbers. I really don't know an awful lot about this individual. I'd never even heard his name before this, and I understand that if he is in a contested convention, he may have trouble carrying the Hendricks County delegation.
Where
his home county. Yeah. We'll see.
Well, it is an interesting pick, and it was made on the same day as the Republican National Committee holding its summer meetings, where they had a session about rising stars who are minorities. Any coincidence?
Was it short?
Do you think
session?
There's a coordinated effort there? No. This was a wonderful pick from the standpoint that not only does his experiences both in business and government and the fact that he is involved in politics, all three of those things are important in this particular setting. And the resume matches perfectly what we need to have in the job. And Mike Pence interviewed a lot of people. We had a lot of talent. Men and women who were interested in this job. Thank goodness we had a lot of talent that was interested. And this was an inspired pick, and I think it's one that's going to generate some new folks that are going to be involved in our party.
Is there a motivation to expand the tent?
There always is. There always is. And it's a lot harder to do than people realize. I know how much time I spent trying to do just that in the time I was state chairman, and I can tell you that that's hard to do, but this will go a long way in helping that process.
Leslie Weidenbender, do you get the sense that race was the biggest factor in this election?
Well, it would be hard to say that it was the only factor, because he is extremely well qualified.
Sure.
For this post. He's had the kind of jobs that you would hope someone dealing with money would have had, and he's been a local official. And so those are great qualifications. It would be hard to argue that he wasn't a great pick from that perspective.
But while he's in public office, he's only been in public office since 2009.
That's right. And I think there's no doubt that race played some role. The Republicans in Indiana have tried very hard to try to expand the party. And this pick took Mike Pence a long time to make, especially long time to make. And so I think there's no doubt that he was thinking about everything, and race is certainly part of that.
This is something that Mike Pence can put on his resume.
That's always the case, right? Evan Bayh did the same thing with his appointment of the first woman and the first African-American to the Indiana Supreme Court. So good for that, I suppose. But for all the reasons that have been stated, I think it's a good thing when more people are involved in the process. He's also a very young person with a young family. This is a big commitment to have a statewide office. We often, underestimate the time and the effort that it takes to, once he's in the office, he's going to spend a lot of time out of the office and working hard on both the political side and the practical side. So good for him for being involved, and good for anybody who has the qualifications and the qualities to come in and contribute to the process.
What's interesting about it, too, that the last two appointments to statewide office both came out of Hendricks County.
Okay, Connie Lawson is Secretary of
State.
Right,
which is kind of interesting when you're talking about opening the tent up there, too. And I think they're going to have to
do... It's a strongly Republican county.
Which they're going to carry anyway. So I really think if the Republican Party wants to reach out to minorities and women, they need to get their act together on voter suppression, and they need to get their act together on immigration, and they need to stop on the social issues, and that would do more to expand the Tea Party agenda.
The message coming from Boston, from Reince Priebus, the national chairman, and others, is that they're not that concerned about the issues. They think they need new spokesmen.
Well, of course, you're always looking for quality spokespeople that can carry a message, but I get a kick out of this whole argument about what we need to do to expand and to do better with women. We hold every office in Indiana except for one, and we have majorities, super majorities in both houses. We have congressional delegation with two women in Congress. I mean, I think we're doing pretty well with women voters in the state.
That's why you haven't won the presidency.
That's why. What part of what I just said was wrong? We hold all those offices.
You do.
Somebody's voting for those people.
When you're in a position of strength, that's a good time to
absolutely
move outside the box.
Joe was looking for somebody to carry the message.
You're in a position of strength in the legislature because of gerrymandering.
Is that the only reason?
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is Duane Sawyer the best choice for state auditors? Your choices are A, yes, B, no, or C, what does the auditor do? Last week's question was, do you approve of Governor Mike Pence's performance so far? 44% approve, 55% disapprove, 1% undecided. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. The Fort Wayne schools will no longer recognize the A2F grading system that Tony Bennett is accused of manipulating. School leaders in Fort Wayne believe that the A2F system was flawed and that Bennett administered it unfairly. Fort Wayne is now taking voted 6-1 in favor of a resolution that prohibits public recognition of A2F grades. School leaders hope that a local system developed before A2F will give a more fair assessment of how schools are performing.
The A2F system, which we now know is corruptible, simply didn't do that.
This is a call for us in the legislature to look at this system and make sure we have a fair system that's then honestly applied.
I like the sense of their resolution. I hope others exert their independence and do the same.
Chuck Little of the Urban School Boards Association there, preceded by State Representative Ed Delaney and Mark Giaquinta, who's the president of the school board in Fort Wayne. Mike McDaniel, will other school districts follow suit?
Well, let's start with the idea that in the law, there's nothing that says there's a referendum, local referendum by school district on whether or not they have to accept A through F.
A through F will be handed out. They're just saying that they won't publicize
it. There's nothing that says it's a local option. Right. There will be dedication to using A to F for calculations for different things. And secondly, for Mark Giaquinta to be leading this charge, this is all about the politics of it. This thing, what they did, has no teeth to it whatsoever. Mark Giaquinta is trying to take advantage of a political situation and inflame that. And this is the same guy that brought lawsuit over the taking the money away
the
from
fines
legislators,
for legislators
when the Democrats fled
He's,
the state.
He's the brother of a Democratic legislator.
So, I mean, you know, this is about the political motivation of trying to inflame this story. That's all it is.
Yet, Mark Giaquinta says he's already heard from the president of the school board in South Bend.
Yeah, I think other school districts are going to do the same thing. They're going to publicize their own evaluation. I mean, the system A through F was flawed to begin with. We said that all along. Schools don't fail, okay? Children can fail. Arguably, teachers can fail. Schools don't fail. And when you have a flawed system, which has obviously been corrupted, and we don't know whether this is the only year. You know, we focused on this one thing. You know, back when I used to prosecute criminal cases, I never saw one case of fraud. I'd like to have them look at both years to see what the issue is. But it's flawed, and nobody has confidence in it, and I think other school districts will follow suit.
But the timing is interesting because we've got this independent review that's been ordered by legislative leaders with a Labor Day deadline. They could have waited a couple of weeks to see what that said.
I think that's a legitimate criticism of the school district's actions if you want to look at it in that light. But I think it's also fair to say that the school system is weighing in, whether or not it's politically motivated, Mike, it's weighing in with its view that this system is not right, is not fair, and is flawed. And as the largest school district in the state, I think that has some particular weight. So, you know, was it too early? You could make that argument, but I do think that they have a legitimate role to play in this process.
Fort Wayne's also an interesting case because in some of the email exchanges that have been made public, Tony Bennett expressed dissatisfaction with the leaders of that school system, and he was unhappy with editorials that were coming out in the Fort Wayne paper.
Yeah, there's been a rocky relationship, I think, between the Fort Wayne schools and the agenda of Republicans for a while now. The Fort Wayne schools have been fighting back against the voucher program and other programs the state has put in place. And so I don't think it's a surprise that they would take this step. I don't know if it's politically motivated or motivated by their dislike of these types of programs. But either way, it's not a surprise. And Mike's right. They absolutely can't just opt out of A to F, but they can certainly decide how they are going to promote it within their own district, and that makes a difference.
All right, still with this, leaders in the Indianapolis public schools want all of the background information related to the takeover of four schools to be made public. The district made record requests this week to both the State Department of Education and the State Board of Education. It's a reaction to the recent scandal involving the A to F grading system. Former State Superintendent Tony Bennett is accused of manipulating the system to benefit a charter school, the Crystal House Academy. District officials believe the results that led to the four-school takeover should be released to the public for review. The four IPS schools were given an F rating in 2011, which led to their takeover by private operators. Meantime, Governor Mike Pence defended the A to F system.
We give our kids letter grades every day. I think we need to give our schools letter grades every year. And that kind of accountability, I think, is important. But it's extremely important that the people of Indiana have confidence in that system.
Leslie, will it be possible to create confidence in the system this year?
I don't think it will be possible to do it this year. And frankly, this is a very difficult thing to do. There is no system that is going to ever produce grades or evaluations or assessments, which have to be done to some extent. There's no system that every school is going to think is fair, or that every teacher is going to think is fair, or every parent or politician is going to think is fair. And so creating confidence in a system like this is an incredibly tall order, because they're always going to have people who are fighting against whatever the system is.
I've heard from a former member of the State Board of Education, who says that first of all, these IPS schools were not doing well for a long time, and that they were evaluated under a different system. But part of the problem here is that the questions raised make it possible to challenge most everything.
I think that's exactly the problem here, and I think Leslie is absolutely right about the confidence that the public may or may not have, and probably doesn't have, in the existing system because of the questions that have come up. There was reporting earlier this week on public radio here out of a report in Bloomington by Steve Hennefeld, who did a calculation and said that not just the one charter school had its grade inflated by what happened, but more than 100 schools had their grades inflated by what had happened. And so, you know, when you see that kind of manipulation writ large and you don't know how those grades are established to begin with, then you're really on the road to lack of confidence. And really, I'll be interested to see what we see from these reports, but it's going to be a tall order, as Leslie said, to bring the public along under this current system.
Well, and the suggestion by defenders of the system is that this is a cynical attempt by IPS. But the door's open to that.
Yes, and it's not a cynical attempt because one of the issues raised by the Superintendent White on this was the exact same issue that they doctored for the benefit of the Crystal Academy and didn't for IPS. And you look at that and you say, talk about two standards, black and white right there. And, you know, we don't know whether this happened only in 2012 or whether it happened in 2011 as well when these schools were taken over and turned into private entities for profit in some cases. And that's the danger with this. When you want to make war on public education and you think you're right, okay, which is what they think, then any manipulation there to get that outcome that they think is right is okay.
Well, that's really the problem that comes out of the Tony Bennett emails is that it seems like he found the result he wanted and then found the means to come up with that result.
Two parts of this. One, they had to fail for 6 years before they were turned over to somebody else. They failed for 6 years before this system ever went into place. And so they were failed schools, clear as you can
see. And that would predate Tony
Bennett.
Right,
and it predates Tony Bennett. Now, having said that, if I were IPS, I'd ask for the same thing they just asked for because of what you said, because this does open the door and there are questions mm-hmm. out there. And why wouldn't you ask under those circumstances?
Well, and frankly, they're
asking. I think at the end of the day, because the system was in place before, that they're not going to find anything. But I can tell you this, if I were them, I'd be asking for the same thing. But I don't think they're going to get much out of it because
well,
the system was in place.
They're asking for information is really what they're
sure.
doing. And there's
and that's
nothing
fine.
Wrong with that. There's
right.
nothing wrong with finding out all of the information that led to these very important decisions.
On the very first day of school, every student in every class finds out what the basis for their grade in that class will be.
Right.
Everybody understands. When the end of the semester comes, you know what it is. That's the problem here, and that's what the Department of Education and the educators need to do.
I go back to the notion of how brick and mortar gets a grade. For those 6 years that we were there, did we have the same students and the same teachers through that whole 6 years?
That's why it's a hard
I don't
thing
think
to
so.
Do. And
yeah.
that's why it's a hard
well,
thing
that's
to
why
do.
A grade for a school is mm-hmm. senseless.
That's why it's never going to be to everybody's satisfaction, just like Leslie said.
Former Governor Mitch Daniels says he won't comment on the grading scandal. Here's what the president of Purdue University said this week.
I'm not talking about partisan politics or state issues. I left it behind when I left my last job, and I'm just going to stick to that.
John Katzenberger, is that an adequate response?
Well, certainly not satisfying to the people who want to hear what happened during his watch as governor. And whether he wants to leave it behind or not, I think is really not relevant because all of this is coming up. And he was the governor and he worked very closely with the superintendent on all of this. I understand his desire not to talk about it and, you know, that's his prerogative. But this is going to continue to be questioned until we get to the bottom of it.
So when there was a controversy over Howard Zinn and some emails that Mitch Daniels sent, he commented on that, but there was some pertinence with regard to his
sure,
position.
There was.
Is he being consistent?
He's not being terribly consistent, but you're right. I mean, that controversy had a direct implication for Purdue University. So it's hard to argue that he shouldn't have gotten involved in that conversation, certainly. I agree with John. These questions are going to persist. He can certainly choose not to answer the questions, but it is not going to make them go away.
I don't expect he's going to change his position.
Oh, absolutely not. He gave the right answer. It's why would he be in the business of talking about this stuff now? And I think most governors, when they leave the office, try to not get in the way of whoever followed them in that office and be embroiled in whatever's happening at that particular time. And he said that early on, and he stuck to it.
This doesn't have anything to do with stepping on Mike Pence's toes. This has to do with the legacy that, Mitch Daniels left behind. He made a big deal about the education. He made a big deal about the fact that Tony Bennett was only elected because teachers did things they shouldn't and all of this kind of stuff that was out there. And yet, when the scandal comes up, it's not my job, not my job. He's going to have to answer
for it.
He didn't
say it wasn't his job.
He just said he didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. All right. So, could this grading scandal have an effect on the next race for president in 2016?
The A2F grading system Tony Bennett is accused of manipulating was started in Florida under Jeb Bush. It didn't exist here when the former Florida governor was invited to attend an Indiana Education Roundtable meeting in 2009.
Success is never final and reform is never complete.
Not only did Tony Bennett copy the Bush example as Indiana State School Superintendent, he and the former governor developed a close relationship. After the grading scandal broke and before he resigned the Florida job that Bush helped him land, Bennett sent this email to Bush and former Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels. In it, he calls the Florida system a model for America. Meantime, Bush confirmed over the weekend that he is mulling a run for the White House.
The decision will be, is it, you know, can I put my heart and soul into this, and is it right for my family? But that's a decision a year away.
And that brings us to this week and headlines that no longer portray Bush as a national leader on educational issues, including this one at Politico.com. It suggests the Bush education legacy has been damaged. Florida newspapers are running stories that go beyond that, indicating that the scandal has hurt his chances in 2016.
And Delaney, 2016 is a long ways off. Is Jeb Bush damaged by this?
Yeah. We've been bushwhacked too much. We don't need another president from that family.
That's not the, what
but,
the question
But the
was.
Question is, the question is he damaged? I think he is damaged because they held up Tony Bennett as the model. He was the poster child for all their reform. And everything that he has done has been tainted by this. So I think he's damaged. I don't know that it's irreparable in terms of the Republican. I'm not sure he's far enough to the right to get the Republican nomination in the first place, but I don't think it's necessarily irreparable, but it's damaging.
Well, Jeb Bush clearly has been trying to build a foundation for a run for president. As you heard, he hasn't decided if he'll do it yet or not, but a lot of that foundation is built on educational issues.
As it should be in his case. I mean, he did more to bring education around in Florida than any governor they've ever had. I hope he does run for president personally. I think he would be a good candidate for us, clearly better candidate we've had the last two that we've had, in my opinion. And, this one, to think that this issue is going to play some major role in a presidential candidate pegs the goofy meter, okay? I mean, this is just silly. This is not going to be something that's going to drive debates and everything else because Tony Bennett decided to do this in Indiana. It's not going to affect Jeb Bush one bit. And this is just silly.
The other problem with that, though, is it isn't only here. I'm not talking about the scandal, but in New York, which was the other model of this, they found that the charter schools and that whole movement there has not resulted in not only in not any better results, but in worse results than the public schools.
The only problem with all this is that all of this competition and all of the, quote, reforms, regardless of what form it's taken, has generated more competition, and schools are subsequently getting better as a result of all of this.
They are
because everybody's working harder.
But
public schools are working harder.
This scandal's getting noticed here, Florida, Washington, a lot of places.
It is. I've been a little surprised at the amount of attention that it's received, and I'm a little surprised by the stories in Florida. I don't think it will have a huge impact on Jeb Bush down the road. I'm not in Florida, so, it's a little hard to tell from here, but I just would be surprised.
I think to the extent that it's proxy for the overall reform movement, and if it continues to have that kind of momentum, but 2016 is a long way off.
Finally, Colts fans this week coped with the new NFL bag policy for the first time. Only purses as large as your hand and clear bags roughly the size of freezer storage bags can now be brought into any NFL stadium. The Colts have tried to inform fans about the new rule, and they handed out approved bags to fans headed to the stadium. Not all fans like the new policy. Mike McDaniel, is it necessary?
You know, is it necessary? I got to believe the NFL based this on something. Either they've had some actual threats that they're worried about for security reasons or something. You got to believe that there's a reason to do this. If it's going to make us all safer in these huge public places, then I don't mind. But I'm not the one carrying the bag in the building. So, you know, I saw a lot of ladies at the first preseason game who did, who got turned away at the door because they didn't get the message.
What I found was a diaper bag. Exactly. You can get in.
And that's a problem.
This pegs the goofy meter. I mean, it really, really does. They ought to rethink this whole thing because it is ridiculous.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender of the StateHouseFile.com, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shello of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
AT&T, connecting Hoosiers with the world for more than 130 years. Investing to build communication networks to help Indiana businesses and consumers succeed in a global economy. AT&T, rethink possible.